Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a whopper of a Wednesday edition. And I've been joined right now live via Zoom by a fine guest. He is a Republican. I'd like to think he's a friend of mine. He is Bill McCashin. Bill, welcome back.
Hey, good to be on. Thanks for having me, Mike.
Well, Bill, thanks for joining us once again. The returning champion, Bill McCashin. So, Bill, I want
to play the song.
What's that?
The bump music should have been the Rocky theme.
Well, you know, we got time, sir. We've got time. Bill, let me ask you. PolitiFact laid out a big lie, the lie of the year, and it was the denial of what happened at January 6th at the U.S. Capitol. The insurrection, the violence, it's being minimized and downplayed. And I understand the political reasons. No one wants to talk about it. They're going into the midterms. But, Bill, I've got to ask you, as a Republican, where do you stand on this whole January 6th topic?
I don't think that the president should have been there. I think he should have talked folks down sooner than he did. He did do that the same day. Ultimately, I'm for peaceful protest. That's fine. Whether it's on the left or the right, I think it's part of the democracy and it's part of what makes us a great country. But when it goes to another level, that includes violence, whether it's the riots on State Street or in Wauwatosa or Kenosha or what happened after the rally on January 6th, I'm not for any of that. I think there's a point where people should be able to voice their opinion, but they need to do it peacefully.
Well, Bill, I weirdly find myself quoting Geraldo Rivera last night on Fox News. He drew distinction from like the Black Lives Matter protest and the Capitol 6 insurrection and said, you know, while that may have been violent, the other one was an attack on the foundations of our democracy. Bill, do you see that as a bigger deal, what happened at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th?
I think they're equally bad. I think they were, all of the protests in the summer of 2020 are what has led to a spike in crime nationwide. Milwaukee just had their second record-breaking year of homicides. That's not a good thing. It's a bad thing. And so I think anytime we look the other way on violence, it's not a good day for America or for the state of Wisconsin. So in my opinion, what happened on January 6th was unfortunate. Those folks should not have gone into the Capitol. There's other ways to express disappointment with the outcome. And that's really what it was all about. Whether or not the outcome was stolen from Donald Trump, I don't believe that. Was the election completely fair? Not necessarily. I think COVID helped Democrats tilt things towards Joe Biden, but there were things that Donald Trump did himself that also tilted things towards Joe Biden. So, the thing I liked the least about the January 6th is what Trump said about Mike Pence. I didn't think that was fair. I think Pence did his job as vice president when he certified the election. And, while some on my side may disagree with what he did, all you have to do is look back to 2000 and think about Al Gore's position. Al Gore could have, using the same logic, Al Gore could have not certified the Florida election and been the president of the United States. Think about that. He sat in that same chair. He didn't do that. And I think Mike Pence ultimately did the right thing. And over time, you know, I'd like to see our election laws be as fair and predictable as possible. And some states are moving that direction. Some states aren't. And, you know, we'll see where that takes us.
Bill McCashin, I didn't invite you on to litigate crime rates as they link to the homicide rates in Milwaukee. So I'm going to let that just sit there on the back burner for a bit. Here in the state of Wisconsin, Bill, they're still litigating the 2020 election. And there's an investigation going on, and it's being led, I think, in what is being perceived as clearly a partisan fashion by Michael Gableman. And while Gableman may have had a prestigious position on the Wisconsin Supreme Court once upon a time, he has demonstrated through a few of his actions, including going out last Sunday and campaigning with Rebecca Clayfish and encouraging and effectively endorsing her candidacy. Bill, that's a terrible look for the special counselor. Do we agree on that point, sir?
We totally agree on that. Mike Gableman shouldn't be going to any partisan function on either side. He should not have been in Rock County last Sunday. I don't know why he was there. He should do his job and investigate. Truthfully, I'm not sure, Mike, what he's going to come up with that's different than what our own Legislative Audit Bureau came up with. They said there were 38 different things that could have been done better, clearly. Even Will, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, came out this week and said there was no mass fraud. There were certainly things that weren't done correctly, but there was no mass fraud. So I don't know what Gableman's going to come up with that's dramatically different than that. But Bill, he most certainly should not be at partisan functions.
Joe Handrick, statistician of some renown. He is a staffer, I believe, of Robin Voss at the Speaker's office. He tweeted out the night of the presidential in Wisconsin and said, uh-oh, here comes Wisconsin, or pardon me, Milwaukee's absentee ballots. And when they do, and you look at the numbers, and you look at the current absentee ballot ratios, especially in big cities, it's going to be trouble for Donald Trump. The math was predicted. Scott Walker didn't really push back about the electoral outcome in the state of Wisconsin. We've seen a couple of recounts and all the other different reports that you've mentioned. But the investigation continues. I forget the senator. I'm terrible with names. Kathy Bernier.
Kathy Bernier. Yeah.
She's saying, let's end this now. Bill, do you share that thought? Should we end this? Because to me, it just seems like a partisan effort to gin up the Republican base.
I'd like to see Mike Gableman end this as soon as possible. The original plan was for it to be done by the end of the calendar year. Well, we're, 15 days away from that. So I think it certainly should be done no later than the end of January. But if he can do it by the middle of January, that's even better. I don't know what can be gained, by dragging this out.
Bill, you talked about perhaps the pandemic tilted the scales, the electoral scales, towards the Democrats and Joe Biden. If you could clarify that point, I have acknowledged that the ability of Wisconsin voters to say they're indefinitely confined could be perceived or in reality a workaround on the voter ID law. But, you know, you still have to go and perpetrate a crime. There's no proof that anyone, as far as I know, actually utilized or try to utilize this loophole in the law during the pandemic to try and basically vote in a fraudulent fashion, Bill. And presuming we're not in a pandemic, the next election that comes through, is this a one-off sort of a problem? I mean, all the bemoaning I hear about, ballot drop boxes and democracy in the park, nobody's really shown me any proof of fraud or the fact that anyone's ballot was not counted accurately in the state of Wisconsin, Bill.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting ballots might have been counted inaccurately. And I think Will's got this right, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. They said, listen, there were some things that where laws weren't followed. You're not allowed to cure ballots. In other words, to sign someone's signature. On the indefinitely confined, maybe some people took advantage of that. There's no question about that. And you're right, Mike, there is no requirement for a photo ID using that loophole. But remember, this was all done in the middle of a global pandemic. Will we be in that same condition in November of 22? Boy, I sure hope not. So here's what I mean by that. I think the final total of absentee ballots in 2020 was like 65%, maybe 70% in Wisconsin. It was an extraordinary number. No chance it's ever going to be that high again, I don't believe. And when that comes down, sort of the perception of fraud and abuse will come down as well.
Bill McCashin, my fine co-devil, at least for a while longer. Bill, we've got future elections. And I've looked at the engagement numbers on the right, and I look at the ratings of right-wing talk radio in the Milwaukee media market, and they're off the charts. And this doesn't, this electorate doesn't act like an electorate that's convinced that the last election was stolen. In fact, when you poll the right currently, Bill, when you poll Republicans, they overwhelmingly say, I can't wait to go vote in next year's midterms. That's not the actions. That's not the stated purpose of someone that feel like they were disenfranchised and had their votes stolen in the last election. So, Bill, my great fear is that this is a red herring, that this investigation is in case Donald Trump wants to claim he won again in 2024, and he's going to have a slate of electors that don't meet the will of the people of respective states. It's going to go to the House of Representatives. It's going to go to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the people are just going to throw up their hands, Bill. That is my fear, is that we know it wasn't a fraudulent election the last time, but they're setting the table to claim it was the next time, and now there needs to be a different remedy. I got 2 minutes in this segment, Bill. Your thoughts?
Boy, we need different candidates if that's where we end up. I mean, the reality is the election was finalized and certified by the United States House of Representatives or United States Senate. And so, you know, it's time to look forward, not backwards. I think our party does itself a disservice by spending so much time looking backwards, not to say things couldn't be done better. And I think the Audit Bureau gave a pretty darn good roadmap of the things that could be improved through legislation or administrative rule. Even the Elections Commission, who they're often in disagreement with, is going to forward a rules package at some point this spring. So I think we're making progress. We've highlighted some things that didn't go particularly well. There are some ideas floating around out there, like the legislature taking control of elections. That's a bad idea. I can say that without any hesitation. That's a very bad idea. It should be done independently, right? People, more than anything, should be able to feel confident in their vote.
Bill, I don't want to look too far back to the future, perhaps. Your former boss, Tommy Thompson, I don't know if you saw the op-ed piece, John Torinas, says, run, Tommy, run. And I want to get your opinion on that, Bill McCashin. Could he be the man of the moment? I'm not sure if Rebecca Clayfish is the candidate of the moment. I'm not sure if Tony Evers is up to the task. So, Bill, I want to get your opinion on the other side. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates.
One for the thumb.
One for the thumb, yeah. I misstated earlier. I said Tommy elected three times. Four times.
Four.
And, you know, he's still a young man, you know, some would say. Come back, Bill McCashin, my fine co-devil. You're listening to the Devil's Advocates.